It's 4:30. Welcome to the October 30th, 2024 Salmon Island School District Board of Directors meeting. We have a quorum present. Everybody's here. I call this meeting to order at 4:30. Please stand and join me in the
Six. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, I'll get sat down. We're going to executive session
All
in
right.
the other room to discuss the status of an employee in 15. Okay, 505 and the recording director. We have first time we have to include the agenda when we get public comment. That we're doing Dale and I'm going to leave one of the brothers standing for Steve Hall. Okay, thank you.
Oh, the new Steve. Thank you.
Steve's better.
First, we have the approval of the agenda. Are there any questions or change requests? When I call it through. Public comment. Do we have anyone for public comment? Nope. Okay. Superintendent's report. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm first. Okay. Somebody's up on you first. You're not. Sorry, I've got so many different things that I'm trying to figure out which one's which. Okay, just wanted to quickly talk about October 11th. We all went, well, a couple of us went over there. Barb and John were there with us on the legislative meeting, and you guys can talk about it a little bit later too. But I thought it was pretty well organized this time. I thought we there were a lot of things that we worked on to be advocates for as we go down to Olympia this year and fight for increased special education funding and not to lose sight of what regionalization is all about. And they put us into, I think the board member from Lopez did a great job of running that meeting. Really good. I don't remember her name. Do you remember her name?
Sarah.
Sarah? She did a great job, I thought, of organizing that meeting and running it. And then they put us into those groups that was like a communication, a legislative, and
Community legislative and
community, legislative, and media. And the reason I can't remember all three is because I was in the legislative. And we have a specific responsibility to determine, like we've given you the gap in funding over the last 6 years in this district with special education, transportation, and MSOCs. And they're going to put theirs together. So it's a conglomerate of all the districts. We'll bring that back. And they've asked for a new meeting on December 6th. And that one's going to be in Lopez. And of course, all board members can be a joint board meeting with them. If we need two of us, it can be all five of you. It doesn't matter. It's with the exception of if it is five, we got to make sure Diana marks that as a board meeting when we go over. Bridget will send us more information on that. And maybe TJ will be able to speak to that a little bit more later. I just was wanting to know, let you know, I was impressed with that October 11th meeting, even more so than the meeting we had in Anacortes a year ago. There was work done that moves us in the right direction about being advocates for what we need in the islands financially. On the same vein, I don't know, last year, TJ and John, you went down too as well. Did you guys see the potential change of the day on the Hill?
Yes.
It's not in Olympia.
Correct. CK.
On January 11th to 12th.
I think that's correct.
So what Vera doesn't know, and I'm about ready to tell her too. Sorry, Vera.
No, that's okay.
I've actually started looking at her basketball schedule because I'm trying to work around some time for Vera and Mia, if I can talk them into it. Going to plug them. To go down with a board member, myself, and Orcus reps and Orcus board members, and I'm gonna meet with her later.
You're welcome.
Going in the bus to be a voice, and I'm trying to set up some meetings for Vera and Nia actually to talk to a couple legislators as well, because we're not getting the same opportunity as we did last year. And we wanted the kids to have a chance to go down, students, I want to say kids, students go down and have a chance to talk with them as well, or just see what the process is like. It's a little tricky because Vera and Nina are so involved in everything. So, but we're going to make it work. Like a Sunday, Monday. I'll promise your coach will be back on a 4:30 to get ready practice. How about that? Sound good? Okay. The only other thing I want tell you is that we did finalize in our estimate process someone to look at the entire envelope and was putting the bid packet together, Sarah Brown Enterprises, and she
For the
won.
building, we just said look at the entire envelope.
The
Envelope of what?
envelope's the out the
The
siding.
exterior envelope of the secondary campus, and so they're looking at both the high school and the middle school, not Turnbull, but like the two main buildings to determine what we've done first and foremost, and what it would possibly cost, and then they use a cost estimator when they also put together the bid packet. We're still hoping they have that all ready to go. Bid packet earlier, I'd say earlier in the spring, but it might be by late January. Hoping to have it done and sent out so that we can get the work done as much as we can financially next summer. No.
Okay.
Unless you have questions.
Now it's up to our ASB rep.
All right. This is my first official meeting with you guys, Vera. And so I'm the other half of our ASB representative. And unfortunately, I do have volleyball practice going. So once I'm done with this, I'll have to slip out for that. But yeah, hopefully in the future, I'll be able to stay for the rest of the meeting. But yeah, so October was a very, very busy month for us at the high school. So I'll try and just touch on everything, and then if you have any questions at the end, I'd be happy to elaborate on anything. This month was kind of, at the end of last month, we kind of started, we had our club day. We kind of introduced all the clubs in our school. So October was kind of the month where all the clubs first kind of getting started meeting and getting underway. We have about 12 clubs this year. Model UN is our new club this year, which is a cool addition. Model UN. So that's fun. I'm not in it, so but I assume it's going well. And along with our clubs, Eco Club, a project that they're doing in the school this week actually is, I believe it's like a wrapper race is what they're calling it. And essentially with Halloween tomorrow, a lot of litter gets accumulated around with all the candy wrappers. So they're doing a cool kind of motivational competition where on Friday, everyone brings in their trash and then it gets weighed. And the grade with the most trash gets like a party with like donuts and stuff. And then individually, you get, if you bring trash in, you get a ticket and a raffle for a cool gift card. So that's just one of the ways our clubs are doing stuff within the school and making us better in general. In the beginning of the month, we also had the Futures Fair, which is essentially a college fair. And it's a really cool thing that we've had it for the past couple of years. And so we had about like 22 colleges come to the school, and they each got put in a classroom, and then you got to pick which college you were interested in. And you got to sit in on like 45, almost an hour long session, maybe not an hour, but a session 20 minutes. Okay, but I got to sit in on this session and just learn about college and different colleges, and they had a presentation, and it was really cool. Especially we live on an island, so it's pretty limited, like hard to travel and look at colleges and stuff. So it's really cool to have that opportunity to have see all these colleges. We had like private, public, state colleges. We had ones from outside of the state, military academies, plenty of options. So that was really cool. And also great because it was built into the school day. So it wasn't like an opt-in, opt-out. It was a thing that everyone got to do and it didn't take up any extra time. So that was really fun. And then after that, we had homecoming. That was kind of like the big, super fun, exciting part of October. Homecoming kind of starts off, we do a spirit week, which ASB kind of leads. And so that's just kind of something we do to raise school spirit up kind of leading up to Friday, where we have the homecoming game and dance and pep rally, et cetera. And so like, for example, the spirit days include things like Monday was anything but a backpack day. And so it was kind of a cool way you bring anything but a backpack. So like I brought like a wicker basket and put all my school supplies in it and walked around in my classes. We had people with tricycles and yeah, and like full on shopping carts. Like it's just a fun way to like make school more interesting and school spirit and get everyone involved. So that was super fun as well. Spirit Day leading up to Friday, where we had the homecoming parade. That happened in town, if any of you saw it. And that's also cool. We spend weeks, the grades get together and you have to vote on a theme. My theme, my grade is pirates, so we made like a whole pirate ship, and it's a really cool way to just work on team building and get everyone together because the kids do everything. Like you have to figure out who's gonna have a car, who's gonna drive it, get a trailer, put it all together, you know, make it all happen. So again, just some fun stuff that just good life lessons and is also super fun at that time of year. So yeah, so that was kind of homecoming. A couple weeks ago, we had the Wave Tour. That was a cool opportunity. This happened last year as well. And it was, there wasn't a lot of spots, but essentially in Mount Vernon, they had the Career Connect Northwest did a, it was kind of like a day, it was a field trip that you could go on and explore the trades. So a selected number of kids that were interested asked, said, hey, I'd like to go. And they got to go on a field trip to Mount Vernon and explore these trades with professionals in the trades. So things like welding, all those kinds of careers. And do hands-on work with actual professionals in the trades and just explore it and due to some great companies and businesses in the community, it was of no cost. So it was really a cool opportunity for any kids interested in the trades to just go on this field trip and do it. So that was really cool as well. And similar along those lines, this past weekend, we had the college fair in Seattle. I actually luckily was able to take part in this. Miss Hillman took us on that, and that was really cool. We got to go to Seattle to the convention center where they had like 300 plus colleges all just in there with their own reps from all across the country, some international as well. And it was just a day trip. We went off island. Miss Hillman took us. We got to go see the troll under the bridge, did some fun little Seattle stuff on the way there, and then got to go to this college fair and just meet all these colleges again. It was super nice because it's hard to just get off the island in general, but traveling to visit colleges and stuff is a hassle. So having opportunities like this that again of no cost to us just to explore these options and kind of start thinking about our future is really cool. So that was great as well. And then yeah, just kind of wrap up end of November. This Friday is the end of term one. So we're a quarter through our school year. So grades, some classes have midterm finals and stuff. So some people are kind of it's like get your work in, check in with your teachers, make sure everything is where you want it. And then along with that, our fall sports are coming to an end as well. And so this year for our fall sports, we have boys tennis, cross country, girls and boys soccer, volleyball, and football. Tennis actually did pretty well this year. They had six boys go to districts, and three of them are on their way to state. So that's very exciting. Cross country had tri-districts today. And so the whole girls team qualified for state. And then I'm not sure about the boys, but because they were kind of at a disadvantage because they weren't necessarily going to qualify as a team. So they'd have to qualify individually, which is a lot harder. But our cross country team, this is their second year being a sport at their school. And they like doubled in size this year and had a really great year in general. So that was great. Girls soccer, they are in playoffs. Their playoff games on Monday. They win that, they're moving on to state. So that's exciting. Boys soccer, they win this Saturday. They'll be on playoffs. Girls volleyball, unfortunately, our season will be done on next Wednesday, but that's okay. And then football, last game tomorrow. So come support. They win that game, they'll go on to state. If they don't, they might have a wild card game to see if they can make it from there. But yeah, overall, fall sports did pretty well. We have a large percentage of our school in sports. And so pretty good year, and they're wrapping up. But yeah, that's kind of October for you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for her? Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Go practice.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next section is the approval of school improvement plans. Last month, we approved the Griffin Gate skip for the high school. So this one comes down to funding.
But yeah, let's see. First time, last month was when we took a look at the year last
Review.
year.
Okay.
The elementary and the high school had one
And sometimes it's a representative advice, what we're doing, you know, sometimes we can get changed that way too.
And he's gone back to Ossie to because he was wrong. He didn't agree with the return of the school improvement plan that he put on the template. So he is talking to all about, okay, but look, he has that element, he has this element, it's just not in the same format as before.
And then not to make twice as much work, but I mean, if our way is more comprehensive, could you do it our way and then just, fill in the blanks for these guys? But is that, I don't know if that's, counterproductive. But, it gives you the thought and the process of, makes you be more coherent with what you're trying to do, your plan, and yet, gives the state their numbers that they want.
Honestly, I feel like that's what I want to feel like. And sometimes, the one difference is like that what I have now that I'm presenting, we're really better for the next step because you may not have the numbers that they want to have there. But I think they need to see them globalize. But I have put it on our other document on general district plan that I can make some ideas from that information. So I just need to move that forward to the plan. So part of it was I am going to put what we did into this document. So anyway, I want to let you know that. Now I'm jumping into the bank. I'll try to keep mine quick and ask questions. I will tell you the good debate. This was an interesting process we went through to develop this. What we found in our K6, not the K5, but we decided to show the top students in the 6th grade. What we saw is that we and our students that are in there this year, like last year, that are reading from 1 to 2, it says 1.5, but it's supposed to be 2.5. And, although we're increased by 1 to 1.5 grade level as measured by benchmark Lexia, which we're looking at the video right now, and or other assessment tools identified during the 24.5 professional development process. And the reason why I have that in the goal is because the problem of practice is the part that I like the most on our document. We identified that in K6, and it's not a big setting, there's a lot of students down there right now, where we identified that through different means that we have students who are 1 to 2.5 grade level below what's expected. And so we really have to take a look at these. But the honest truth is, in alternative settings, when we don't have direct daily instruction, we just went, we don't know exactly what we're doing. We need to learn more how to do, especially with students who are 100% remote. How are we going to make impact on reading? And so we have begun taking on our Wednesdays. At other days that we're planning, we're also already planning on other places that we're going to visit. We've actually talked to the state and looking at other schools, alternative schools that are doing reading programs. We want to see how they are executing their plan. So this plan to improve reading is directly related to what we're going to do to improve teacher and teachers, even though we only have one elementary teacher or the entire staff in building this process. I'm promoting in this part of our action plan that we're going to have 80 days off to get together to work through different programs to review this. But we want to know how you do it. Unlike a Holly school where they're able to be on a daily basis, face to face, and I just don't work that. We develop a lot of constantly. But for the most part, we don't have that. And so the goal centers around our problem is on reading. We want to make an impact on reading. How are we going to get there? It's really about the professional development that we're promoting this year. And then the problem, that is how we come by about the middle school. They don't normally take the modern knowledge assessment. That's one thing. We don't often get math testing. So most of this comes from benchmark testing that comes out of our programs that we use, like Imagine. But we think there are other assessment tools out there that can be beneficial to us. And that's why we're going to keep an eye on some of the things that we're doing.
Yep.
So, I appreciate the format, Fred, because it gives our school improvement plan structure. So always our first goal is academic, and always our second one is social-emotional. And so our, like I reported last month, our scores were pretty good for last year's 10th graders. But we just feel like we want to consistently keep the goal anyway with those state testing scores. That's the overall goal. And so for each one, we just bumped it up 5%, arbitrary, because who knows what it's going to be. And especially when you get into those higher percentages, like up to 85%, wow, that's a lot of the kids meeting standard in 10th grade. So anyway, it's just that we're keeping plugging away that and away at that, and we really like using that metric. But if you scroll down just a little bit more, Diana, what the state and what our school improvement plans ask us to do is to look at the people who maybe aren't as close to that pass rate. And for us, it really ends up being non-white students, students in the multilingual program, students with IEPs, students with 504s, I mean, students who have like some barriers, obviously, if you're not, you know, fluent in English and things like that. So I included all of that data. But so our theory of action, problem of practice, all those sorts of things are really speaking to making sure, well, the first thing is this amazing staff. Like they are very experienced and very good at what they do, and they work really hard. So Fred talked about it a lot, but really just that collective teacher efficacy. So helping us collectively believe that we can move the needle with student learning. We included this because we want to just make sure we give that nod to our really incredible practitioners in the classroom. And that we want to be more intentional this year about looking at our data as a team and sharing strategies that help. Especially these kids in these other areas who aren't progressing as fast as we'd like them to be. So looking, when we review data, we will be intentional about looking at it disaggregated by these groups. And then work on implementing strategies together that help, like, for example, our language learners. So those students, you know, when we are helping them contribute to a classroom discussion, or when we're giving them, you know, a graphic organizer to help them organize their thoughts, well, really all of our students would have access to that, and all of the learning should improve because those strategies help all of the students. So anyway, that is our first goal. So we're going to be intentional about, you know, looking at the data together in the disaggregated groups, sharing strategies and being intentional about the intervention strategies we use for language learners, students with special learning needs, and then, you know, looking at it for non-white students. So that's our academical. And then on to our social-emotional goal. We have done a student climate survey for many, many years. The data on bullying is really hard, and so we asked our students, like, why do you find it hard to believe that adults at school can't help you a lot with that? And really the answer from them is because most of it's happening on our devices and not while we're at school, and so it's very, you know, I'm not on social media with my students, so we are not really intervening that way. So we decided to shift this year because we noticed that it's not horrible. It's pretty good that 84% of our kids feel like there's an adult at school that they're comfortable that they can talk to. But we wanted to make that higher this year. And then the other question that we looked at was most students at my school treat each other well. And that said 78%. So it felt like we could move that as well. So if you scroll down some more, you can see our charts. So this one is the adult support, and you can see that the lowest one is in 10th grade, actually. So we disaggregated it by how long they've been in school here. Students accessing supports would be ML, IEP, and 504 students all clumped together. There's not a big discrepancy there. We thought for our 10th grade students,
that, you know, that would kind of be our targeted group that we've watched all the way through, and maybe try some more interventions with those guys. And then the next one about peer treatment, that one, yeah, that one didn't really stand out to us. Are all other gender categories on that one? So students have the option of responding as male, female, non-binary, don't want to say, something else that's better, or other. So those are all put together there. Otherwise, you don't get enough to actually even represent on a chart. But anyway, our strategies for addressing feeling like there's an adult at school that they can connect with, and then this with classmates and peers treating each other well. This fall, we had, before school started, we had Lori Linus at school teaching us about some of those strategies that help kids feel safe in the classroom, and ways for easy ways for teachers to connect with kids every day. You can see some of them in there, like positive greetings at the door. I mean, literally, if a teacher stands at the door and says a kid's name, looks them in the eye, and maybe if they show them in the classroom, give them like a pep talk for today, and remember, we don't do this thing in class or whatever it is. I mean, there's just so much research that says if we do that, you're going to create better relationships with the kids in class. So we have positive greetings at the door, wide feedback, which is like the sandwich message, like, hey, you did this thing great. I want you to look this part, but overall, you're doing wonderful. So some of those really simple things that kind of help kids feel like teachers are seeing them and part of the classroom. And then for the student and student connections, which would be the next one, you know, we continue to have advisory, like Vera was saying. We want our clubs to be really busy. Homecoming is a great event where the whole class contributes. And then we are actually thinking about doing a Make the Change Day, which is something that the AWSL, the Association of Washington Student Leaders, sponsors. But it would be voluntary, but it would be a day, hopefully, where facilitators come in and kind of help get some of that empathy curated amongst our kids in a really safe and supportive way. So, anyway, that's the high school. Any questions?
Not a lot going on.
There's so much going on.
Question, but so on the charts, I think it's on page 4, the yellow, orange chart.
Yeah.
Do we have a baseline against the state, what the average is at the state level?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't have that in here. I just have our scores in here. But like if you go up, Diana, and this would be on like our OSPI report card page too, that we could actually see where the state is. Like the what I showed you last month is that, you know, we are outscoring the state by about 20% in every group.
I'm pretty sure we're above state. It'd be nice to see that on the chart for recent confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I do want to say, I want to second what you said. I thought Lori Linus was amazing. In fact, some of the things that Lori Linus brought into us at that time, we actually have looking through that actually next Wednesday. We have a part of it. It's called PBIF. It's called School too, but the Griffin Bay is looking at it as well. So I want to echo that Dr. Lori Linus was really good. What go next? We'll go elementary. No, it's this. No, he thinks he's going next. We'll save him for last.
So yeah, we had our ML goal approved or presented this summer and approved, which is our academic goal for the school, because what we're doing for our ML, all of the steps, all of our action plan are things that apply and are good for all of our learners. So we have a social-emotional goal that I'm presenting today. As Fred was talking about the OSSI rep that was here, what meeting with him last year, he reminded me, not because we didn't have one, but he was just saying all schools have usually an academic goal and a social emotional goal. Last year, we didn't have a social emotional goal because we had worked for a few years on the climate and making sure kids felt a sense of belonging. And our numbers were high, as Andrew was saying, like we kept kind of pushing it and pushing it, but we decided to take a break from that last year because we had the ML goal and we had a separate academic goal. But we found that that ML goal is covering math as well as literacy for all the steps. So our social emotional goal this year, we decided to go with new information from what we're seeing from students. And it's really something that we've seen through the years, more so since COVID, but lots of improvement, but students are still having a hard time regulating their emotions. So Lori Linus, when she was here, talked about how important it is to have a school-wide system. And we have our PBIS team. We have that in place. We have lots of positive behavior interventions in place, but something we didn't have was one tool for students to use to regulate their emotions. So there were things happening throughout the school in different classrooms in different ways, but we decided to go with the zones of regulation. So there's that visual on the back page, but it really is a great tool because it's really an energy, it's kind of more of an energy, thank you, an energy level thing. So kids can recognize what zone they're in. It doesn't necessarily go like blue, you might see like depressed or bored, but it also doesn't necessarily mean negative. So your energy is just low, and then there's this continuum of colors, and knowing that the green zone is where you want to be. It's when you're happy, calm, where you're going to learn best. But kids can be in any of those zones in the day. And research really shows that if they are able to name their emotion and know where they are, then they're going to be able, that's the first step to being able to regulate it. So far we have set the goal that by May, 95% of students will be able to name or identify their feelings and have 2 to 3 strategies to calm down and go in control. According to the zones of regulation self-reflection survey. So we picked 2 parts from this extensive survey, all these questions that the zones of regulation offer. And we're focusing on naming the feeling, being able to name a feeling, and then being able to use 2 to 3 strategies to be able to regulate their feelings. So far, Tara has done a couple of PD quick things with staff so that everybody now understands the zones of regulation. We now have visuals in all the classrooms. We met again today as a staff and talked further about doing check-ins daily, getting students used to using that language, and again, the adults being able to have strategies, specific strategies to teach kids when they're in certain zones, how to get back to learning zone, which is again that green thing. We have some other, I put included a little bit of just our school data that shows some information about office referrals. Again, we've grown a lot because 2 years ago we were at 179 office referrals. Right now, this last school year, we have 141 office referrals. And that can be things that happen in the classroom, things that happen at recess or the hallways that are above and beyond, or repetitive behaviors that are getting in the way of student learning or other students learning or safety. So yeah, we are hoping that, I mean, the goal is that when students have the ability to recognize their feeling, wherever they are in the school or outside of school, we do have a parent on our PBIS team who said, yes, I see these things at home too. So it was nice to get that input. But wherever they are, for them to be able to recognize their feeling and then pick a strategy that works for them to know how to get back to a regulated place to be able to be safe or the best place for learning. So, yeah, we are going to continue. Tara's going to continue with classes and continue with staff. And then something I didn't put in here that I want to make sure I mention is that we are continuing to do the same things we've done before. Character Strong curriculum with our monthly character traits, second step lessons, Kelso's choices, all of those kinds of character lessons and that we've done before, but we just are adding in this zones of regulation as a regular school-wide tool. Any questions? Sure.
Holly, since about 3/4 of the office referrals are tied to the playground, what are you doing to make the playground a little bit safer?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. So what we see year after year is that that's just the most unstructured environment. So I wouldn't say that it's an unsafe place to be. It's just that it's a classroom, you know, is so much more structured with where students are and proximity with teachers. So we do have what we've put in place in the last couple of years. So is zones on the playground. So different than these zones, but zones that are the places where the staff are to stand so that we don't have one zone uncovered. It's really easy, and I've been there to go outside and say, oh, let's talk about that lesson that we were teaching today, and then start talking to another adult instead of spreading out and keeping eyes on the areas. So we have the zones in place. I think that's really helped in the last few years, make sure that we have all areas covered and just a lot of communication. Lori Linus, again, we did some work with her. I'm looking at you because you brought it up first, I guess, Lori Linus. We did some work talking about a matrix for places in our school, what's expected, and then how it's taught. So we've always had the expectation of what happens at recess. But how do kids just, they can't just do it, you know? So you have to explicitly teach what happens in these different areas. So that's also happening. We broke all the areas down and have explicit things to teach in the different zones, on the different play areas on the playground. And that's being done now regularly. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's our question. Thank you. Thank you.
For last, please just take your last. We're going to get last.
So, much like the other schools, we have two goals also. And social, emotional, and an academic. We'll speak to the academic one first. It is much similar to our goal last year. We really were proud of the work we did. We felt though that there was some stuff we still need to do with that. So to keep that alignment going, this is really a goal at the middle school that we've been working on for the last 4 years. But we want to emphasize that we want to still keep those students that are doing well moving forward, but really focus on our underperforming group at the same time, some intentionality. So we're trying to align some math testing score data with some differentiation process. So that's been a big help for us. I think last year we made a minor shift in the way we think of things, but we got major results from it because for many years we used math testing in just our English and math classes to administer it, which just really got the buy-in of those two staff members. And some other staff members would look at the data, but they really weren't invested in it. Last year, we shifted the testing protocol to mimic what we do with our Smarter Balance, which gave us some practice with the Smarter Balance testing in that format, even though the tests are different. But what we saw was that it really helped us in two different areas. We got better staff buy-in toward using the results of the data, and our students were able to give us a little bit better effort because we intentionally did some work in our homerooms to lead up to that testing situation. I think overall that was one of the things that helped us with our improvement on our Smarter Balance test scores last year. Bottom line is what it really did was help us individually look at students and their skill and what we would need to do to target some individual growth. And what happened last year was that seemed to really help our upper achieving group again, because the things just, they take off with those structures that we have. What we want to do now is see if we can use that same information to help differentiate a little bit more of our underperforming group. So that's where the focus of our our goal is going to be this year, along with still trying to move those upper rank kids forward. I think that speaks to the problem of practice and theory of action. Then the steps that we have are pretty aligned with what we've done in the past. But again, I think you'll see some information there about using the map situation. Because of that, we started the year again with our San Juan Institute situation, and the Lori Linus work helped us with our social emotional and with our common practices that we've had in place for quite a few years. But it also helped. We did a MAP training as a staff that let our staff look at the results of the data and how to interpret that information in a different light. So it really helped, again, get some buy-in from our staff, and it really, I think, is going to help with the differentiation piece. Any questions about the achievement goal before we want? So that's hopefully where we are really excited to see if we can keep that process moving forward and also improve that underperforming group at the same time. But the social emotional goal is much the same also. We continue to believe that in order for us to have success academically, students need to feel safe and welcome at our school. But what we're seeing is we still have a small population that doesn't seem connected to our school. So we're really working at trying to make that connection happen. We're doing a couple of things differently than last year, or in addition to what we did last year. Our postcard promotion program is one of the things that I hear the most feedback on. Our staff members send out 3 to 5 postcards a month to different students, just kind of giving a little positive note. Hey, thanks for being here. You know, you did well on this, whatever. But I hear more parents, grandparents, whatever, give us, hey, my kid got a postcard in the mail. You know, we really appreciate that. So we thought we would double down on that a little bit. And we decided with our attendance situations, not kids that are there all the time giving them positive reward, but we thought for students that, because one of our survey answers was that one of our lowest areas is when students are gone, they don't feel like people notice that they're gone. Mm-hmm. So we now have a postcard campaign that our teachers can just pick up, and when they notice the student's been out of school for whatever, a couple, maybe they're out sick for a week or whatever, we're going to send them a little postcard just saying, hey, sorry, we missed you. We hope you're feeling well, right? Anything you can do. And then what it did on the back is we have like a checklist of things they might want to check in on when they get back. Check in with the teacher about assignments, those kinds of things that we hear a lot that doesn't happen when students are out absent. So we're going to try to add that to our campaign. And then we also have started to do some school-wide events that I think are going to be really positive for our I'm smiling a little bit because one of the ones we're going to try tomorrow might backfire a little bit, because when it was explained to us, you could see how this might go south in a hurry. But we went to an ASB leadership conference, and to promote school-wide spirit net, they use different time periods around the year where they use Halloween, because it's kind of a disruptive time for students in school already. But we've hid pumpkins all around the school, and so our students can now search for pumpkins tomorrow, and when they bring the mount back, they can earn a prize for the amount of pumpkins that they bring back. So just trying to get a little common school buy-in to being there together. What we hope doesn't happen is that chaos erupts and kids want to get out of class, go find a pumpkin, and go to the bathroom or all those things. But we'll try to have some fun with it, but keep it school appropriate at the same time. But Amara did a great job also at the beginning of the year. She brought up the idea, hey, we would like to start with, we noticed last year at the end of the year, we kind of had, during our advisory period, we had a kind of a school-wide game day that was like our field day at the end of the year, but just a mini version of that. And we noticed that students just enjoyed walking the track as a group and talking to different people. And so we thought, hey, that's something we could intentionally do. So we took half of the day at the beginning of the year to kind of create an atmosphere for something like that to happen, that activity, where we asked students from different grade levels to pair up with each other. We gave them a script of questions to ask to find out a little bit about each other, just so that we can do some cross learning. Our kids know each other fairly well because they grow up in a small community, but it's amazing how many don't know so much about each other. So we tried to facilitate that happening again, just to build some school-wide culture. It was a really big success, so much so that our staff would like to do it again sometime in the spring to kind of piggyback on that also. So trying to do a few more school-wide events, help build those connections with some of those kiddos that maybe don't feel as connected to school. Questions about that? Yes, sir. No, I'm not going to call you when things go south. Well,
have you informed the custodians that it could be a pumping issue?
No, no, they're paper pumping.
Okay.
Paper pumping.
That could be worse.
Paper pumping. Yeah. No, they're a little tiny.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fine. But yeah, as a principal, you always get worried about new ideas and not knowing how the staff might react to it and everything. But we have you might want to come by the middle school. We have a costume organized event that is going to be pretty fun tomorrow. That's all I can say because I don't want to spoil the situation. But if you have time, it'd be interesting. You could come by and see how unified our staff is. That's it.
All day.
Oh, it's all day, but the morning would be, yeah, that's when it will be revealed. So,
question.
Right.
Yes.
Just real quick for context, you want to raise climate survey responses to 75%. What is it currently?
We have some that are at, we would like to get them all to 75%. So they range, our lowest one, I think, is 52%. Our highest is like 80. But we have about 10 questions that we repeatedly ask. I think I've included that data in our. But we're trying to get all of those to 75% or above.
And the average daily attendance rate
is at, it was 89 last year, and we've traditionally been at 92. We're trying to get that up to that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No more school, no more food farm. You do.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the school improvement plans, please?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Brian moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
PJ seconded. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Unanimous. Now on to the consent agenda. For standard monthly expenses, personnel changes, and we do have one donation this month. We accept with gratitude $1,000 from Kiwanis for snacks and necessities for Griffin Bay. And there are two contracts to approve included in the agenda, one for contracted school move services and one for Father Hubbard Labs outreach. And I did notice that in the consent agenda was a gigantic bill for Chromebooks that I don't recall seeing an invoice for $124,000 for the Chromebooks and $10,000 for licensing. And we're asked to approve the payment, but I don't recall seeing the invoice.
Well, answer that question, okay?
Well, we don't have to see the invoice. We want to see the purchase order. We have to look back to see if he's paid for the meeting or not.
Okay. So, could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, please?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Brian moved.
Second.
John seconded. Any other discussion? I would say I'd like to see that purchase order on next month's because it's over the 10,000. And see it, because I kind of look back not carefully, but. I think we need to see that next month.
Mm-hmm. So not to approve it tonight? Because if you haven't seen it, how can we approve something that you're skeptical about?
I don't know.
Well, the purpose of that is for the board, and the board is required to approve it. There's nothing much different in the purchase order than the voice, but I agree that it should be the purchase order.
So, could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with that particular $134,000 plus invoice and or purchase order taken out until next month?
Will that delay purchase of the Chromebooks?
So,
they probably already been purchased, and this is to pay them. Is it? Hmm.
Is what I'm trying to ask. Is it the company itself done? If we delay, we can do that if you want that. Just make sure we feel secure about
okay.
it.
So, can I have a motion for taking that out of the consent agenda for this month so we can approve it next month after we've seen the invoice? Nobody can move?
I so move. Can I have a second?
I guess I'm confused because if we've already cut a check for it,
I just, yeah, I don't understand what we're doing.
I don't understand what this is going to bring to the table for us.
Yeah, that's my confusion.
Okay. So what do we want to do? Somebody
tell me. I think your original suggestion is good if we could bring it to the next meeting for confirmation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But since the check has already been cut, I'm not sure what we can do at this point.
Okay.
Short of canceling the check.
Well, it's probably already been cashed, but anyway. But, okay, so are we going to approve the consent agenda as it stands, or are we going to take it out until we can take that particular item out for next month?
I make a motion to approve this consent agenda.
It's already, it's already done.
I would say as it stands.
As it stands, okay. Could I have a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay. Any other discussion? I would like to see the invoice or purchase order next month.
Absolutely.
And so could I have a vote? All in favor?
Aye. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Unanimous. Jose, you're up.
As we mentioned last month, we were anticipating a little bit of a rebound on the first month's enrollment, which was down by about 15 FTE, and we did gain almost 11 in October. And so our annual average is still 10 behind because that increase was split over 2 months for our average. If we can continue the same enrollments, for example, next month, then it'll increase our annual average by about 2 FTE and start to close the gap if we can maintain that level of students through the year. But we are looking at a slight decrease in enrollment from what was budgeted for this year at this point. Any questions on enrollment?
Speak up a little.
Okay. You want me to repeat that?
No, just speak up a little bit. Thank you.
All right. And our just highlighting the special education percentage, we're basically 17% for the year. And you know, that is the push. One of the pushes of the legislative session is to increase that percentage, funding percentage from 16 to 17%. So we would benefit if that is the case. So this is 1 month's data, not a whole lot going on. Any questions on the miscellaneous funds page? And I have the September information. You'll see that in the September column, the beginning unreserved fund balance is blank. And I'm showing what was in the budget. The 1.6 million, I am wrapping up the F-196, a couple little things that'll go to the ESD tomorrow, and by the next board meeting, we'll have the F-196 and a recap of where we ended up and how we ended up where we did. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Ready? Anything else? Okay. On to approval of board policy from last month's meeting and revisions. Language clarification: 6700 nutrition, which is just language. 6701 recess and physical activity. 6702 wellness. These are all common sense requirements and in accordance with new legislative guidelines with which we comply already. Could I have a motion to approve policy 6700, its revision 6701 and 6702, please?
I so move.
John moved. Do we have a second?
Okay.
Melanie seconded. Any discussion?
All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye. I approve unanimously. On to director reports. Brian, do you have anything?
I have nothing at the moment.
Okay. No.
Nothing.
Okay. John?
I just like to say that I agree with Fred. The meeting in Anacortes was one of our most productive we've had so far. Fred, you missed one in Orcas. TJ, you missed one in Anacortes, but I think you'd agree the one in Orcas. I think we made a lot of headway. You know, instead of just waiting there trying to listen to what legislators want to tell us and hear about it, it's been nice to have us actually work together and organize what we think we need to explain to legislators. And I think the idea of inviting the unions in as well has just really opened up a whole new line of transparency and communication with them. I think that, you know, and having their minds and their input, it helps us, you know, make a clear path to making ways to making our arguments with the state to help get funded in the correct ways. I think I feel really positive about all the moves we're making. I mean, before a couple years ago, I might have almost said it's a waste of time, but I think we're actually starting to get focused and making some real progress with it.
I think I agree with that. The staff and union people were so appreciative and had such good ideas and so thankful that they realized we're listening. We always have, but we haven't shown it.
Yeah.
And so that was the best part to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just transparency times 10 is great.
So I agree with that. And anybody have anything else to say? We are going to one that before that. So that is the end. Just before Thanksgiving, end of November, just before Thanksgiving. And it's a lot different than it's been. Last year, they were aiming that this direction, but we used to have all these 20-minute and 30-minute, almost useless sessions. And now they're all gone to 45 to an hour, a whole lot more really long-term ones, which kind of goes with the really sounds. It's still that well anymore. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of things that I want to see. And one of the things that I was thinking now is that maybe for some of them, besides just the onboard boot camp, you could attach yourself to somebody, talk with amongst people, and find out which ones they're going to tag along, just so you get a different insight on things.
Absolutely. Well, and it's the best thing about it is actually talking to people from other districts and just finding how much we have in common and not. You do get a whole new perspective. It's really, you know, take advantage of the time. Not even, you know, I mean, it'd be great to get to know each other and stuff, but I also think that meeting people from other districts is huge and listening to what they're going through and equating it to what we're trying to go through is really eye opening.
Okay. Calendar review. Any changes or results?
Well, again, my monthly.
We're not adding November 6th.
No, we know it's not November 6th. So, can I push November 7th? Where are you guys on that schedule? And it would be more like 4 o'clock ish. Would it be possible? Not November 7th at all. Okay. So Thursday's out.
How about Tuesday? You said Tuesday.
Right? Not on the 5th.
Oh, that's right.
Not election day.
So now we're into in the day on the 6th, or 7th. And during the day on the 6th, what for you, John?
I have to like 5 on Wednesday, I would say.
That's right. We know Mr. Retirement may have some time. We'll see if he has time.
Depends on the tea times.
Yeah.
Weather.
And we don't know about Mr. Golf.
I could pretty much at this point pretty much make it, I think. Although November's gonna be tough and I think I could hold these things to make it work.
You guys want to shoot for Wednesday, November 6th and at Barb, will you be fine if we went out there at 11?
I think so.
Okay, so we'll kind of play plan workshop retreat on. Maybe I should look at my schedule now. I didn't even think about that during the day. I can make it happen.
Okay.
They may be happy that I have to cancel the different office meeting that day. Don't cheer now, Jose.
No.
Yeah, it's going to force an end to end time. I have to be back to Griffin Bay by 2. So let's meet out at 11 o'clock at their place, and then we'll go we'll go from there and just do a small workshop retreat on board operating principles, eat a little lunch, and then that'll be the end.
Will you be sending an invite for this?
I will make sure the invite goes out to you guys. Yep. Diana, Diana, you heard that, right?
With Barb's address.
Yeah.
So we can find it.
Yep.
It's not
far. Very close to the water. Don't fall off the deck.
I don't think we're going to be on the deck. Okay. It is 6:10. If nobody has anything else, I'll call this meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.